Okay, so we've got some really interesting material here.
Yeah.
It's about this legal case, Bologna Bros v. Stevens. And it sounds like one of those property deals that just went totally sideways.
Oh, yeah.
And we're gonna try to kind of untangle it all for you today,
Yeah.
pull out the really important lessons from it,
Especially, yeah.
especially for, all of you who are navigating the world of law.
Right.
We're gonna see where things kind of went off the rails
Yeah.
and why it even matters, like
Yeah.
why is this case significant? And what it can teach us about property law
Yeah.
and, just how important it is to get all the details right
Oh, absolutely.
when you're dealing with this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
We've got a pretty good breakdown of the case here.
Okay.
It covers, like the basic facts, the main legal issue,
Yeah.
the relevant legal principle,
Okay.
and how the court analyzed it all,
Right.
and then also like some of the broader implications. You can kind of think of our discussion today as like your shortcut to
Okay.
understanding the core of this case
Yeah.
and why it's still relevant, all these years later.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
So the heart of the matter here
Yeah.
is that we have Stevens,
Right.
who sold a property to Bologna Bros for $1,500.
Okay.
Now, that just on its face sounds pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, it seems simple enough.
Yeah, but not so fast.
Oh.
It turns out that Stevens had previously tried to transfer the same property to his family's
Right,
company
Coke.
called Stevens Realty Co.
Right.
Now, this is where things get really interesting. The document for that initial transfer, the deed,
Yeah.
had a big problem.
Uh-oh.
It didn't include a square number in the property description.
Wow.
Now, to folks outside of the legal world,
Right.
that might sound like a super tiny detail to get hung up on.
Yeah, you would think so.
But why is a detail like that such a potential bombshell when it comes to property law?
Well, you know what's really fascinating about property law is how important it is
Yeah.
to be super clear about exactly what piece of land you're talking
Yeah,
about.
right.
Like, that's paramount.
Yeah.
So even seemingly small details, they become like these cornerstones of legal certainty.
I see.
You could almost think of a deed
Oh.
as like the legal fingerprint of a property.
That's a good way to put it.
Right. So if that fingerprint is smudged or incomplete,
Yeah.
it creates doubt about like the identity of the land
Right.
that's actually being transferred.
Yeah, makes
And so in
sense.
this case, that missing square number,
Right.
it really throws a wrench in the works.
Yeah.
It raises questions about whether that
Realty
transfer
company.
to Stevens Realty Co. was even valid at all.
Like it might not have even happened legally.
Right, exactly.
Huh,
It's like
yeah.
trying to mail a letter without an address.
Yeah, you're not going to get it where it needs to go. It's exactly.
So our sources are suggesting that
Yeah.
this missing square number created a lot of ambiguity
Oh, yeah, for sure.
about who actually owned the property legally.
Big time.
So why is pinpoint accuracy so crucial here? And what happens when it's missing?
Well, think about it. It's like
Yeah.
a map where like a key landmark is just gone.
Yeah, you're lost.
Right. And if we zoom out and look at the bigger picture,
Okay.
the whole system of public property records
Right.
relies on these super accurate descriptions
Yeah.
to tell the world who owns what.
Makes sense.
Right. So if a description is fuzzy or incomplete, it undermines that whole notification
All
system. But
right.
the court itself actually pointed out
What did they say?
if the property description in a deed is so unclear that you can't actually locate and identify the land,
Right.
then the sale can be considered invalid,
Wow.
especially when it affects other people who are relying on those public records.
That makes sense. So this kind of uncertainty is exactly what leads to disputes like this one.
Right. So then we have this issue of a second sale.
Oh, yeah.
So we fast forward a bit.
Okay.
Stevens passes away,
Yeah.
and then his heirs go and sell the same property to someone named Cecil Bankston.
Wow.
That right there is a huge red flag.
Talk about a mess.
Right. So to avoid this potentially really lengthy and expensive
I hear.
legal battle
Right.
over who actually owns the land, Bologna Bros ends up paying Bankston $1,000 to
It's
settle.
just to make it go away.
Yeah, just to make it go away.
Wow.
So what does that tell us about the practical real-world headaches
Right.
that unclear property titles can create?
This is a great example
Yeah.
of how messed up legal paperwork can have real consequences.
Right.
So even if Bologna Bros had a deed from Stevens, that potential earlier transfer to Stevens Realty Corp.
Right.
With that bad description, it puts this cloud over their ownership.
Oh, so it's not clear.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha.
So then when they've got this second sale to Bankston, who's also saying he owns the property, Lonia Bros, probably just made a practical decision.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably cheaper and faster to pay Bankston and make it go away.
Than to fight it out.
Than to go to court and try to prove their title was better.
Right.
So this really shows you
that
even if you think you bought a property legally, issues with the title can pop up later and cost you a ton of time and money to fix.
So basically, better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly.
So next we have the restitution claim.
Okay.
Bologna Bros sues Stevens heirs to get their initial $1,500 back.
Makes sense. They want their money back.
Yeah, but here's where things get a little less intuitive.
Okay.
The central legal question here was, can they get their money back even though they weren't actually evicted from the property?
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. Like on the surface, you might think.
You'd need to be physically removed to be able to claim damages.
Seems logical.
So what's the legal principle at work here?
This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Because there's this crucial difference between just possessing a property and actually legally owning it.
Okay. So two different things.
Two totally different things.
Gotcha.
Bologna Bros might have been using the land.
Right.
But the core question was, did Stevens even have the right to sell it to them?
That's a good point.
So their argument for getting their money back wasn't about being forced off the land.
Okay.
It was about the fact that the whole sale agreement was probably invalid.
Right.
Because Stevens likely didn't have clear title to transfer.
Interesting. So it's like,
it's kind of like buying a stolen watch.
Oh, okay.
Just because you have the watch doesn't mean you legally own it.
Right.
And the seller probably had no right to sell it to you in the first place.
Yeah.
So the legal guidance we have lays out this key rule.
Okay.
If you sell property you don't actually own, the sale is considered null.
Right.
And that's a really strong word, legally.
Oh, yeah.
It means it's not just a bad deal.
Right.
It's legally invalid from the very beginning.
It's like it never even happened.
Yeah. Or as the lawyers say, ab initio.
Exactly.
So there's also this critical point that connects back to our last question. You don't necessarily need to be evicted to get your money back.
Okay.
If someone else has what's called perfect title.
Interesting.
Meaning they have clear, undisputed legal ownership.
So that's a key exception.
Right.
This whole idea of a sale being null when the seller doesn't actually own the property.
Right.
It's a fundamental principle in property law.
Yeah.
It's meant to stop these situations where someone tries to transfer rights they just don't have.
It makes sense.
And that term ab initio, you know, meaning from the beginning, it really emphasizes that the law treats this kind of void sale like it legally never happened. And the exception for perfect title and not needing an eviction, it just makes sense practically.
I see.
If it's legally certain that someone else owns the property, then the initial buyer's claim is basically worthless.
Yeah.
So forcing them to go through a formal eviction would just be a waste of time and energy.
So the court's analysis in this case really focused on that original defective deed to Stevens Realty Co.
That missing square number.
Right, because it was missing that square number that transferred to the company might not have been legally sound.
Right.
And if Stevens didn't legally own the property when he sold it to Bologna Bros, then that second sale is also void.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It just goes to show how that initial error had these huge legal consequences.
Like a domino effect.
Exactly.
The court's reasoning here is really cool because it shows how different legal concepts are all connected. So the potential invalidity of that first transfer directly impacts the second one.
Interesting.
If Stevens never properly transferred the property to his company because of that messed up description.
Yeah.
Then his later sale to Bologna Bros.
Yeah.
Is on shaky ground.
Right.
So that doubt about whether he even owned the property when he made the second sale is what makes that transaction potentially void.
Okay. So then the court does this interesting thing procedurally.
Oh, yeah.
They bring Cecil Bankston into the lawsuit.
Interesting.
Between Bologna Bros and Stevens' heirs.
Why did they do that?
So the reason they did that
okay.
was to figure out if Bankston's claim to the title was valid.
Right.
And to prevent what they call a multiplicity of suits.
Okay.
Which basically means avoiding having to decide the same ownership question in multiple separate cases.
Right.
It just shows how the legal system tries to be efficient.
Yeah, wrap it all up in one go.
Yeah, like imagine trying to solve the same puzzle piece.
Right.
In a bunch of different puzzles.
Makes sense to do it once.
Exactly.
So here, the court is being proactive.
Yeah.
They want to make sure they get a complete and final resolution.
Uh-huh.
And if we think about the bigger principles of civil procedure.
Okay.
Courts usually have the power.
Yeah.
To bring in everyone who's needed.
Right.
To a lawsuit.
Mm.
To prevent these fragmented cases.
Makes sense.
And conflicting judgments.
Right. So by including Bankston.
Yeah.
The court could figure out once and for all who had the best claim to the property.
Yeah.
It saves everyone time and resources.
Right.
And it reduces the risk of inconsistent outcomes.
So it's a really practical aspect of how the system works.
Yeah.
It's also important to remember that this case is from Louisiana, which has a civil law system, unlike a lot of other states.
Right. One concept that's relevant here is the warranty against eviction.
Intuitive.
Which is basically a form of buyer protection.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So Louisiana's legal system, which is rooted in Roman law, has specific protections for buyers.
I see.
The warranty against eviction means that the seller guarantees the buyer peaceful possession of the property.
Gotcha.
So if the buyer is evicted or faces a serious legal threat of eviction because of a problem that existed before the sale, the seller can be held responsible.
Interesting.
Now, Bologna Bros weren't technically evicted, but the uncertainty from that defective deed and the sale to Bankston definitely posed a serious threat to their peaceful possession, which helps explain why they could seek restitution.
I see.
Even without a formal eviction.
Makes sense.
So stepping back a bit, what are the big takeaways from this case for you, especially as someone studying law?
Well, first of all, it's super clear that you need precise property descriptions and deeds.
Right. That missing square number really caused a lot of problems.
You really did.
And secondly, it shows how important courts are in making sure everyone's involved.
Right.
So we can get a clear answer on who owns what.
Exactly.
What about you?
Yeah. This case is a perfect example for law students.
Okay.
It shows how attention to detail in legal documents isn't just about following rules. It's about establishing clear legal rights and avoiding problems down the road.
So it's really important.
It is.
And the court's decision to include Bankston shows how important it is to understand not just the law itself, but also how the legal system uses tools to resolve disputes effectively.
Exactly.
So let's go back to this idea of perfect title.
Okay.
The court's logic was that if Bankston or even Stevens Realty Co., if that deed could be fixed, had a clear legal title, then Stevens definitely didn't have the right, to sell to Bologna Bros.
So that makes the whole sale invalid.
Right. And in that situation, making Bologna Bros go through a formal eviction, which would have been totally unnecessary.
It would have been pointless.
Exactly.
So basically, having perfect title in someone else proves that the seller didn't have valid title at the time of the sale.
So the buyer can get their money back.
Right.
Because the transaction was flawed from the start.
Yeah. The court saw that it would be pointless to require an eviction when the outcome was already clear legally.
Now, as a law student, what parts of this case really stand out to you? Is it how a small error can have a big impact?
Yeah, that's definitely a big one.
Or the idea of a contract being void from the beginning.
Yeah, that's huge too.
Or maybe how the court brought in extra parties.
You know what's really interesting to me is how the court connected the legal issue of the deed and the title transfer with the procedural part of bringing in all the necessary people.
To make sure there's a fair outcome.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It shows that as a lawyer, you need to understand both the law and how the legal system works.
To actually resolve disputes.
Yeah. And that concept of a void contract from the beginning.
Yeah. Ab initio.
Because of a fundamental flaw. Like the seller not having the right to sell.
Right.
That's a crucial takeaway.
Absolutely.
And it goes way beyond just property law.
So what does this all mean for our listeners? This deep dive into Bologna Bros v. Stevens really drives home some key principles of property law.
For sure.
Clear and undisputed title is absolutely essential.
Couldn't agree more.
And precise documentation is non-negotiable.
It can make or break a case.
Right. And it also shows how the legal system aims for efficiency and tries to reach final resolutions. This case is a powerful reminder
Absolutely.
that even small mistakes in legal documents can have huge consequences.
Huge.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
The court's decision to remand the case
Right.
and bring in Bankston
Yeah.
raises a big what if. What if Bankston's title also had a problem?
Oh, wow.
What kind of mess would that have created?
Yeah.
This case might seem specific, but it opens up these bigger questions
Okay.
about the chain of title,
Right.
the burden of proof in these disputes,
Yeah.
and what remedies are available
Right.
when ownership is uncertain.
It's definitely something to think about
It is
as you continue your legal studies.
absolutely food for thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.